Welcome to an edition of the What If Show. And for the second time this time around, we have Dr. Tom on the show. Dr. Tom, welcome so much. And I think I've said this so many times. Thank you so much for coming to be on the show. And we, as you know, we've had quite a couple of stumble blocks in the way for the first call and even for this one. So I'd really like to use this moment to acknowledge you and the information and the message that you have for the world. I just perceive the phenomenon thereof. So welcome and thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks. It's a pleasure to speak with you, and thanks for inviting me to talk about the energy of the mouth.
And that is kind of where I would like to get started for the call, is the message that you have for the world in terms of the mouth and the direct link to, you know, if it's eternal living or having a happier life. What is it that you would say to people? And I know I'm actually starting on the big side of this, but this topic for me is so huge and enormous. So could we start off with what is your message to the world, and then we can go into further topics?
Sure. Well, it's like, so first of all, I mean, it might be helpful to let everybody know that I'm a dentist.
Yes, that's a good start.
And everybody should know, I mean, and I don't know if you are somehow relaying this information, but you know, you and I did a call already, and it got the recording got botched up, and so nobody's heard my information yet. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that I'm a dentist, and I'm a practicing dentist, and that I practice in the United States, and I've been practicing for over 20 years, and since 1999, I've been using the Access Energy Transformation Tools to supplement everything I do in the dental office. But I also, alongside of that, I do energy work just with the mouth, and I call it, it's called Happy Mouth. And when I do Happy Mouth, it's just basically all hands-on and processing for the mouth.
That's rather interesting. We haven't really touched on that the last time we spoke. And you said that's just hands-on processing?
Yes. So, you know, so I hands-on and verbal processing. So basically what I do Happy Mouth for is for the people who don't have access to see me in the dental office. Because there's so many people across the world that could use clearing in their mouth. And, you know, the people who come to my dental office, they're not really coming in to have clearings and processes done. They don't know anything about that. They don't know anything about energy work, you know, the vast, vast majority of them. They just know that when they come in to have me do dentistry, I'm a holistic dentist, you know, and I do, you know, cosmetic dentistry on people and family dentistry on people. And when they come in, they don't know that I do energy work on them while I'm doing, you know, using a drill on their teeth. They know that, you know, when they come in, it's easier, it's faster, it goes smoother, it heals up faster, it feels better afterwards, it heals, you know. So that's all they know about it. But on the side, at my home and on the phone, I do this whole other work called Happy Mouth. And I have a website called, it's you can look me up at yourhappymouth.com. And it's also, you can look it up at thehappymouth.com. But you can get a lot more information on what I do outside of the office.
Well, that is rather interesting. I'm actually just opening up the website as I have you on the call. Mm-hmm. So could you just give a little bit more of an explanation as to the importance in terms of having you know, a healthy mouth and a happy mouth in terms of general life and living?
Yes. Well, you know, it's like this. You know, if you look at the mouth is a place where, you know, virtually millions of energies can get stuck. You know, and if you think about it, you know, the mouth does so many different things. We communicate with the mouth. We get, you know, we eat with the mouth, get nourishment. You can have sex with the mouth. You can breathe through the mouth. And so many things happen in the mouth. And so because so many things happen in the mouth and so many things can go, you know, let's just say awry with the mouth, you know, a lot of energies can get stuck in the mouth. So let's say in one lifetime, you know, you say something with your mouth that you shouldn't have said, and, you know, you're not aware of it at the time, but then later on you find out that what you've said, you know, let's say it got you killed or it got you injured. The next lifetime you have, you know, you might just have some energy stuck in your mouth due to the fact that some stuff went down on a previous lifetime that happened with your mouth. So everything that brought up, would you like to destroy and uncreate all that times a godzillion?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pot and puck, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. So, you know, so what we found is that there are, you know, a lot of source points of creation that start in the mouth that can affect the whole body. You know, so I'm currently becoming a naturopath along with being a dentist, and I went to some of the classes for becoming a naturopath, a doctor of naturopath in New York. And one of the things that they mentioned in the class is that they're looking at right now that about 80% of the illness that goes on, you know, the illness or disease, the disease that goes on with the body, can at least be partially sourced to the mouth, which I had heard some things about that before, but somebody actually had done the research on it, and I found that just extremely fascinating. But, you know, the source points are something that we've talked about in Access for quite some time.
Now, the source points are then part of the remnants from previous lives.
Yes, they can be.
Well, that's rather interesting.
Let's run something on that, you know, because I'm sure that brought up a lot.
Yes.
with some listeners. So let's run all the relational and creational source points, the cross-purpose relational and cross-purpose creational source points, the causal and effect source points, and the expressional and generation source points, which make your tooth or teeth decay, fall out, crack, abscess, or become obsolete. So, and also those that make the gums recede, your periodontal structures degenerate, your bone support degenerate, and your jaw and your TMJ structures degenerate. And anything else I didn't mention. So everything that is, would you like to destroy and uncreate all that, please?
Yes.
Right, wrong, okay. Good, bad, pot and puck, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds.
Wow. Dr. Thumb, I'm wondering, what is really possible in terms of having a healthy mouth? If you have to look at what we use in this reality, people aging, you have gum disease, people using teeth, you know, the whole, I almost want to say the linear process of from when you're born and when you lose teeth, for lack of a better phrase. But what is truly possible for us in terms of a happy mouth and a healthy mouth?
Well, so, I mean, the name of the show is What If, right? So what if, you know, so in dental school, they teach dentists, you know, once a tooth, you know, is rotten and has to be pulled or falls out, you can't regrow that. They also teach you that once your gums recede, you know, if your gums recede and the root's showing, you know, what they might call, you know, you become long in the tooth. Once your gums recede, you can't get that to come back. Once you lose bone around your teeth, you know, you get gum disease and you start to lose bone support. Get that to come back. I mean, basically, in dental school, they just teach you, okay, the best you can do is maintain what you got. Once it's diseased, if you can arrest it and maintain what you got, you're doing pretty well. And then if you have certain things happen to the mouth, such as a cavity, well, then maybe you've got soft teeth, and there's nothing you can do about soft teeth. And if you've got some jaw problems and everything's degenerated with the jaw and you've got pain with that and all that, there's nothing you can do about that either. So what if all of that was a big fat lie? And what if the opposite was actually true? So let's run something on that, because I'm sure a lot of people are going, boink, you know, clunk.
Yeah.
So feel everything you thought about how we must fix the teeth, fix the tooth, fix the gums, fix the periodontal structures, fix the bone, fix the jaw, fix the TMD structures, rather than growing new teeth, growing new tooth structures, growing new gums, generating healthy periodontal structures, generating new bone, generating healthy jaw and TMJ structures, and also feel about, you know, everything you thought about that, you know, if you did grow a new tooth and new tooth structure, new gums, and generate healthy periodontal structures and new bone and healthy jaw and TMD structures, well, that would be an accident anyways. And so what are all the evidentiary contrivances about of embodiment that create all of that? Would you be willing to destroy and uncreate all that, please?
Yes. Sure.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pot and puck, all nine, shorts, boys, beyonds. And how about all the conflictual paradigms, conflictual realities, and conflictual universes that create all that? Would you be willing to destroy and uncreate all that, please?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pot and puck, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. So now, one thing talk about, you know, before we go on any further is that, you know, I should mention that when we do energetic clearings in the mouth, the word that actually reads energetically from the mouth is the periodontal cavity. And so the word periodontal originally, you know, so right now when somebody says periodontal in America, in the United States, periodontal means, you know, the gums and the bone and all that. But the word periodontal originally had a different meaning than it has today. So peri, P-E-R-I, it used to be a word that described a group of beings, you know, and they were actually sprites. They weren't like tooth fairies, but they're sprites. And they were considered fallen angels, and they were originally regarded as evil and then as good. And so this is actually just both, it's both a truth and a lie. So what's happened is the periodontal cavity, which is the mouth, you know, the mouth has become the curse and damnation of embodiment. So, you know, so, I mean, you've heard of, you know, hear no evil, speak no evil. See no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. You know, it's all about that and the curse and damnation of embodiment. So the mouth or the periodontal cavity has been a way of implanting us and explanting us with curses, damnations, condemnations, convictions, enslavement, sentences, implants, explants, and all that and more. So how many curses, damnations, condemnations, convictions, sentences, enslavements, implants, explants, and anything else that I didn't mention do you have connected to each and every tooth? Everything that is, would you like to destroy and uncreate all that, please?
Yes, please.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pot and puck, all nine, shorts, boys, beyonds.
Dr. Tom, one of the phrases that you just mentioned smacked me right in between the eyes, the curse and damnation of embodiment. So for me, there's almost like a conflictual reality about that, because for me, embodiment is supposed to be joyous.
So if you have a, you know, a something stuck inside you from previous lifetimes that, you know, that have that kind of belief system going on, well, that's really going to screw you up, you know. Yeah. And so basically that's kind of one of the big points of creation in the whole mouth, is that it's considered a damnation of embodiment. You know, it's like, you know, you know, just simply put, it's like, let's say you badmouth somebody and then they come back and say, damn you, you know, and they start cursing and swearing at you and all that kind of stuff. You know, all of that, if you take that on as a belief that, you know, you should be damned because maybe you shouldn't have said that. I mean, because everything is truly an interesting point of view. If you have gone through all of your many lifetimes, that everything that ever happened and ever happened to you and your mouth and everything that came out of it and everything that you did with your mouth, if everything was just an interesting point of view, then you're probably going to be somebody who does not have anything stuck in their mouth. And so what would that take to unravel all that and release all that, so that you can have a happy mouth where your gums are pink and lovely and sensuous and your teeth are bright and shiny and sexy. So everything that does not allow all that, would you like to destroy and uncreate all that, please?
Yes, please.
Right, wrong, good, bad, bottom, puck, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds.
Okay, wow. Could we look a little bit more, I almost want to say, the structure of the teeth? Because I'm very excited to know that regrowth is possible. And I'm guessing that it's most likely just points of view that might stand in the way of that not being the case. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely. So it's like, so most people actually, most people's bodies are actually designed to grow 4 to 5 sets of teeth.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
There are people on the planet right now who actually generate replacement teeth when they're required. You know, and you don't hear about them on the news, but, you know, there's people up in the mountains hiding somewhere, or not hiding per se, but there are people who are able to do that. And so what we're looking at with the mouth is, what would it take to be consciously be able to generate the body in the mouth like you really are able to do, but don't acknowledge that you can. So everything that does not allow all that, would you like to destroy and uncreate all that, please?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. So the thing is, you know, so most bodies are currently designed or implanted to have the teeth rot out as a way to make sure that you don't stay in your body too long. You know, so they've been implanted this way to make sure that you don't eat, you know, the much crunchy, healthy food, so that you can't make sure that you get, you know, all the nutrients that you need from food. And so it's like a lot of people, as they get older, you know, and they don't have a good set of teeth, or they don't have as many teeth as they used to, they're not able to, you know, they choose the softer foods that aren't as healthy. So it's just another way that we can get out of our body with ease. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get out of your body. I mean, you can jump off a cliff, you can get cancer, you can just slowly degenerate yourself in so many different ways, and it's just another way of degenerating yourself so that you can get out when you want to get out. But what if it didn't have to be like that? So everything that brought up, would you like to just try and uncreate all that, please?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, bottom, pock, all nine, shorts, boys, beyonds. So the thing is, we're always growing. You know, you either grow to die or you grow to live. There's always growth in one form or another. So it's all about choice. So, you know, so if someone has a commitment to death, which most people actually have a commitment to death, you know, because they think, okay, it's got to happen, and that's the only way that it happens on this. How successful do you think you'll be at generating new teeth or new gums or TMJ structures? A little or a lot successful?
Or not at all? Not at all.
So how many commitments do you have to death? And everything that you decided about, will you revoke, recant, rescind, and reclaim, renounce, denounce, and destroy all that, please? Good. Right on, good, bad, pod and puck, online, shorts, boy, and beyond. So one thing I should, you know, one thing I'd like to do, because I'd like to do this on everybody I possibly can get my hands on or talk to, is I'd like to activate a activation system in the head. It's called the dental activation system. So now dental activation system is in the middle of the skull, and it can be activated by touch. And so basically when I do this on people, but I can do it over the phone too, and I'd like to do it right now. I'd like to initiate, activate, and exponentialize the dental generative system in everybody's skull, and everything that does not allow that to activate, initiate, and exponentialize, right, wrong, good, bad, pod and puck, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. So there's actually, we've actually found eight activation systems on the skull to help the generation of the mouth. And then there's actually about four, I think four or five restoration systems too that are activated by touching places on the skull. So they're not, you know, they're not like the access bars where you're actually dissipating energy, you know, and I'm guessing most of the listeners know what I'm talking about with the bars. But they're actually activation systems in the activation points on the skull that can be activated to help the mouth generate again. So the first activation system that came up back, it was I think it was the year 2000. And I was in a level 2 and 3 class in San Francisco. And in the class, it was like day two, I had this sensation in the middle of my skull. It was on both sides. And I had this sensation of electricity combined with kind of a lightning, energetic feeling, kind of an icy cold feeling, and just this big, it was actually really quite annoying because I had no idea what was going on. And it would fire on, and I would look around the class to see if anybody else was like, okay, is this just happening to me or is other, you know, what's going on here? It would fire on for about 10, 15 minutes, and then it would go away for a couple hours, and then it would go back on again. And it kept on doing that through the whole second day and the third day. And so this was actually Dane Heer's first level 2 and 3 class that he ever went to. And at that class, Gary was promoting him, and it was his first class. And Gary said, you know, you can have a session with Dane at the back of the class, and, you know, it's a little session with him, you know, for a half hour. It was actually like $80. Which if you've ever had a session with Dane, his sessions are like over $1,000 now. But at the time, it was like, okay, I'll see this guy. Everybody's talking about him. They all said, you know, he's really got some, can really move the energy. So I'm going to have a session with him. So I had a session with him, and so I asked him, he said, okay, so what would you like to get out of the session? What's going on? And I said, oh, you know, my upper back's a little stiff, you know, because I'm a dentist and all that kind of stuff. And then I said, and also I have this thing going on in my skull, and it keeps on doing this and that, and it's really annoying. I don't know what's going on, and I want you to get it, turn it off, and or whatever's going on, fix it. And so he looked at me, and he said, well, the thing is, whatever's going on there, I can't really turn it off because I'm getting that it's a talent or ability. And I, you know, I looked at him like, what kind of talent and ability is that? It's just as annoying as hell. So so anyways, I had my session with him, and so I was a little disappointed, of course, because I thought he was going to get rid of this thing that was going on in my skull. And so I decided to have a session with Gary, and at the end of the 4 days of the 2 and 3. And so I went to his hotel room, and I said, so Gary, I'd like to have you channel the beans that you channel. So Gary used to channel some beans. He doesn't do that anymore, but he did back then. And so I asked the beans that he channeled what was going on in my skull, and they said that it was actually I had activated what they call it, the Donful Generative System. And I said, well, what was I doing that for? And they said, well, the reason you did that is so that you can activate it in other people's skulls, heads. So since then, a lot of other points have been activated on people from stuff I've gotten from my own skull. And so it's like I'm working on somebody, and it's somebody who's got big gum problems going on, and all of a sudden I feel a particular point in my skull light up, and it happens over and over and over again. And I'm like, over time, I'm like, oh my God, this is a gingival activation system, and I can activate on that on other people's heads and help them out even more. So that's really where it's come from. So I just wanted to activate that one, the Donald Generative System, because that's one of the big main ones for everybody.
And I don't think we touched on exactly what that activation does for the periodontal cavity.
Well, so it's for the mouth, and it's just an overall activation in general for the mouth to help realize the generative capacities of the mouth once again.
Okay.
So it's just kind of a coverall that helps everything in the mouth. And so there's a lot of specific activation points that deal with, you know, the bone or the gums or this or that or the other thing. But that one is just kind of a coverall that everybody should really make sure they get activated in themselves.
This is, I absolutely love this work. I was just wondering, if I had to use an overbite as an example, would an overbite be a result of a specific, source point from previous lives, or is it just structurally?
I didn't hear that word,
overbite.
What was the word you were using?
An overbite?
Overbite. Oh, okay. I couldn't make out what you're saying. Okay, so you're talking about with the way the teeth come together and how the teeth are, lined up where the teeth are overlapping a lot.
Right.
So basically the thing with, with the bite, with the orthodontic alignment of the teeth, that is all about impactions. And impactions, is an energy that can certainly be cleared. Do you have an overbite, Charlinda?
Slightly.
Do you have an overbite?
I do, slightly.
Oh, slightly. Okay. So all the impactions that are keeping all of that in place, would you like to just try and uncreate all that, please? Times
I
of
would.
Godzillion.
I would.
Right, Wrong, Good, Bad, Pod and Puck, All Nine Shorts, Boy and Beyonds. So the energy of impactions get more and more dense, actually, as you get older. And so if you have a child who, you know, let's say they're, you know, 6 years old, right? And what you'd want to do is you'd want to do a hands-on process where you put your hands on their jaw and cheeks and, you know, just put both hands on the upper and lower jaws and do an energy process of impactions. And so just run all the impactions that keep everything in place and malaligned and malocluded, everything that is times a godzillion, right, wrong, good, everything that doesn't allow all that to release, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pot and puck, all nine, shorts, boys and beyonds. So the thing is, as you get older, it takes a lot longer to get things balanced out. So if you have a three-year-old, it's a really good thing to do on them as they're a toddler and getting older, because it doesn't take a lot of hands-on time to get everything to be lined up better. So it's like if you have a child who's like 12, what happens is by the time you're 12, it takes 12 times 12 amount of energy to get things to unravel and get the bite in a better alignment. And so that's a whole lot of energy work. So, I mean, it's almost easier to see an orthodontist at that point. But if you have a 12-year-old who's seeing an orthodontist and you do the energy work of impaction on them, it's going to go faster and easier and better for them. And also afterwards, they're probably not going to have as much of a chance to have, you know, a relapse. You know, some people, they have braces done and they get them off when they're 15 years old, and then by the time they're 21, things have kind of crowded up again. So it's really important, you know, even at an older age, even if your child is seeing an orthodontist, to do energy work of impaction on them, because you can make things go better and stronger and have a better outcome. So, but really, you know, if so, it's like if you're 40 years old, 40 times 40. okay, so how many people are going to do 160 sessions, you know, of an hour and a half on their selves to help things out? You know, so it's really, you know, that's really a lot, but impactions are something that really get a lot dense as we get older. So, well, let's run something on that, because Al, that's an interesting point of view. But let's look at, you know, cause and effect right there. So what have you made so vital about the causal incarcerations and incarnations that keep you creating the diminishment and the destruction and the impactions of your whole dental system? Everything that is, would you like to destroy and uncreate that times a godzillion? Yeah. Right, wrong, good, bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds.
Actually, this is so interesting, because as you're doing the clearings, I mean, just after we said hello on the show already, I could feel all kinds of bubbling and energy stuff happening in my mouth. That's so interesting to see how this, you know, is actually transpiring.
Fantastic.
Brilliant. Awesome. What I recall from our previous conversation is you mentioned something about a microorganism.
Yes. Yeah.
Could you please refresh my memory on that?
Yeah. So we were talking last time I talked to you, we were talking a little bit about plaque. Now, so, yes. You know, if everybody doesn't know what plaque is, plaque is the name of that little pithy layer of, you know, film on your teeth. So it's like if you haven't brushed your teeth for a couple days, or if you're not, you know, brushing really well, you'll have a buildup of plaque on your teeth. You know, and for a lot of people's mouths, the plaque over time with the minerals in the mouth will turn to tartar, calculus, that's the same thing, tartar and calculus. And the tartar and calculus will cause, you know, inflammation of the gums, and the gums get, puffy, and then they get red, and so on and so forth, and all the cause and effect of all that. So, so the thing is, our bodies actually have within them a particular microorganism whose job it is to actually take care of and dissipate the plaque in our mouth. So these are very minute organisms. They literally cannot be found under a microscope. So they could be found under an atomic microscope, you know, electron microscope. You know, that's how small they are. But there's been no dental researcher who's actually looked for them, you know, because it's the point of view, basically, that there can't be an organism that would actually be beneficial to take care of plaque and calculus, could there? So they, you know, so it's always assumed that it must be taken off, it must be scraped off. And so it's like when you go to the dentist, get your teeth cleaned, you know, the dental hygienist who cleans the teeth will take out their, you know, hooks and start scraping. You know, and I remember, you know, it's like if you remember when you were a kid, if you went to the dentist as a kid, you probably don't remember them taking those instruments like when you were 6 years old and scraping away for an hour. But, you know, if you're older than 30, you probably go in the dental office and you hear a bunch of, you know, and they're taking out their ultrasonics and, you know, and they're like blasting that stuff off. And so why is that? Why is it that what's the reason that when you were young, you didn't have that to be scraped off. And now as you're older, it's just baked on there. And so it's like, I remember going to the dentist as a kid and, you know, my mom in her 40s at that time, you know, I remember I was talking about getting my teeth cleaned and she goes to me, she said, you know, Tom, you just don't know what it is to get your teeth cleaned. When you go in there, they just polish them up. She said, but when I go in there, they just really scrape and go to town on them. She was just letting me know what was actually happening in there. Because I think I was saying, you know, why? You know, because I had to wait in the waiting room for my mom. Me and my brothers and sisters had to wait for my mom. And we, you know, we all took like 30 minutes, 20 minutes and everything. And she was in there for an hour. And it's like, what takes you so long? We're getting bored out here. You know, there's not good magazines out here. There's not a TV. There's nothing to do. So I think that's why she was telling me. So, you know, so periodontal disease has to do with the plaque in the calculus buildup, basically. So periodontal disease can be reduced by the removal of plaque and calculus. But to some degree, it's also a necessity for these little organisms that can handle plaque and calculus to be activated so that they can come back with some kind of force to eliminate all that. So we can reactivate them because what they do is they stick within the body structure itself. So basically, as we get older, these microorganisms, they go into dormancy or into death or unconsciousness. So in particular, there's things that we eat or drink, and it's basically it's different for everybody. Everybody's got their own recipe of how they drive these microorganisms into unconsciousness. You know, but for a lot of people, it's sodas, you know, like Pepsi and Coke, you know, that the carbonation in that can put them into dormancy, you know, and there's other things that are quite individualized. You know, for a lot of people, it's smoking can kill them off too. And there's other things that, you know, that we eat that we're kind of sensitive to or we're allergic to and we crave them, but not because our body requires them, but we just, you know, think we have to have it, but our bodies aren't actually having the requirement to eat that, but we think we need to eat it. And so at that time, you know, it's another thing that drives them into dormancy or unconsciousness. So we can reactivate them because they stick within the body structure itself. So if they are killed off, they can be brought back because nothing ever truly dies. When they are killed off, they become part of the accumulation within the body that is the aggregate of mortality. So they're still there, and so we can undo that. So let's ask right now, put your hands on your outsides of your mouth, and if you want to have even more fun, go ahead and put them inside your mouth.
Okay.
So go ahead. You can do it just fine by putting it on the outside of your mouth. So let's ask for all the microorganisms that are designed to take care of plaque and calculus, et cetera, and all of those that are dormant or died within the bodily structures, and everything that made them decide or determined that they had to do that, and everything that encapsulated them and impacted them, and everything that keeps them from being totally present and conscious. Everything that does not allow them to come into consciousness, would you like to destroy and uncreate all that, please?
Yeah.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pot and fuck, all nine, shorts, blinds, beyonds. So basically, if you would like to have them, these microorganisms come back, what's really required is that you keep on doing this to bring them back so that they have more and more of themselves in your mouth to take care of things. So one clearing isn't going to take care of it. It has to be done several times as it comes into your awareness to bring them back to have some vitality.
This is so phenomenal. With you mentioning that, I was just wondering what contribution can what we eat, you know, the energy of the food be to our teeth and in assisting it to become healthier as well?
So are you asking a question?
Yes. Does that not sound like a question? If I look at the energetic, I almost want to say play between food and us eating our teeth and our mouth, how can we incorporate eating into almost as a tool to also add to the health of our teeth and the changing of the structure of our teeth, if at all possible?
Well, okay, so basically with the plaque dissipation microorganisms, you know, as you take a bite or drink of something, put attention onto your teeth and see what direction your teeth wish to go. So if you feel them wishing to withdraw from this thing, it's because, you know, your mouth is sensitive to it or the microorganisms are, and so they don't want to have it. So, and then the other part is that, like I said, you have to ask the consciousness cells to take away the plaque that they can the moment you're done, you know, finished eating. And so the same thing goes with, like, the strength of the teeth themselves, you know. So a lot of, you know, a lot of people who have a lot of problems with cavities, let's just say, a lot of what's attributed to making their mouth susceptible to cavities is just the balance of their body in general. And so a lot of people don't, and I'm not talking about, okay, you've eaten the wrong foods and sugars and all that kind of stuff and all that kind of cause and effect thing. I'm just talking about, you know, having strong teeth in general and having a balanced body in general. And so asking your body, you know, what it would like to eat, you know. So there are books out there that talk about, you know, certain diets you can have that can help remineralize your teeth. And basically these diets that are out there, like the Weston Price Foundation, you can look that up on the internet, they're really looking at you becoming more conscious about what you're eating and about what's really great things for your body that's going to really help the health and balance of your body, that's really going to help the health and balance of your mouth too. So it's really about asking what would your body like to consume, you know, and asking it from the point of view of what's going to be good for the body and the mouth and everything. So because a lot of people eat things of course, that their body's not actually asking for.
Now, this is also becoming more present with, you know, what it is that you're eating. I like that. I will, mm-hmm. I will see which way my teeth wish to go. I will definitely play with that.
Yeah, or, you know, if you're not just asking about the plaque microorganism, but you're just asking your body in general, just see, does your whole body go towards this food, or is your body going away from the food a little bit? You know, or how does the, you know, when you look at the food, does your body feel light or does it feel heavy? You know, it's all about choice, and it's all about asking questions.
One of the, I'm wondering, the words are escaping me right now. I'm guessing you get a lot of questions about people being scared of going to the dentist.
Sure. So, you know, somebody once told me that it's one of the top 10 fears that people have in the world is of going to the dentist. And I was like shocked, of course, because I'm a dentist and, you know. Then again, I thought about it and it's like, yeah, you know, when I first got out of dental school and I, you know, I wasn't doing access yet. I had no idea what access was. I had a lot of anxiety in my world as I was doing dentistry on people. And I, you know, I'm like, you know, certain patients would come in, I'd just be more anxious about the whole procedure and all that kind of stuff. And then once I had found access, I found out that all that was a big lie, and all these thoughts, feelings, emotions I had didn't even belong to me in the first place. And that I was really picking it up on all the patients that were coming to see me. And once I had that awareness, it was huge because my life got so much easier as a dentist. I mean, so it's like one statistic that's out there that surprises a lot of people is that dentistry as a profession has the highest suicide rate of all the professions. And it's like, so why do you think that is? It's like, you know, yeah. If you're a massage therapist, people come to see you and they're like, oh, I get to have a massage. I love it. I feel good. You know, if you're a dentist, people are waiting out in your waiting room and they're like, oh, my God, I got to go damn see that damn dentist. And he's gonna crank on my tooth and rip it open and, you know, and drill it apart and da-da-da and all that. Projections, expectations, and fears, and all the implants that get activated just when you actually enter the dental office. Well, everything that is, would you like to destroy and uncreate all that?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, potpock, all nine shorts, boy, and beyond. And if your dentist has any kind of awareness at all, your dentist is going to pick up on that, and they're going to feel a little bit more anxious about it, and then if you're really an aware person, right, and your dentist is a little more anxious, and then you become more anxious because you feel that anxiousness of your dentist, and then your dentist feels a little bit more anxious because you're getting more. I mean, it just can kind of snowball on itself, and pretty soon the patient and the dentist can be a lot more anxious than they need to be, or not that you need to be, but that's actually really real, and it's not even true at all. It's all based on a lie right from the beginning. So one of the things about dentistry, though, is that there's a lot of things that were done to us in past lives that weren't exactly kind. So let's run a process on that. Everything you've done to make yourself afraid of dentistry, and every time in which dentistry has been used as a weapon against you, you know, because you know there's a lot of past lives where there's been a military complex that used people and it implanted people with certain things that weren't so kind to them. So all that and all this stuff that you have about getting dentistry done in past lives, you know, when it was done without anesthetic and when you had to get drunk in order to have a tooth pulled, you know, or you didn't even have any alcohol to do it and you just had to get it done, and everything that comes up with that, would you be willing to destroy and uncreate all that times a godzillion?
Yeah.
Right on, good, bad, pot and puck, all nine shorts, boys, and yawns.
Wow. That is phenomenal. Dr. Tom, we are almost heading towards the end of the show again, and I know just like last time, I would prefer it not to end, and I'm sure we can talk for a long, long time still.
It's that's so true, because it's like, you know, last time we talked, I think I said, you know, the thing is, I was like, are we almost out of time? Because I barely touched on anything. I mean, there's so many things to talk about in terms of the, you know, the gums and bone support and, you know, mercury and other things about plaque and tooth buds in the body and TMJ and grinding of the teeth and decay and acid balance in the mouth and all of that. It's like, I felt like we just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes. So I know that you have an upcoming teleseries that's starting in August, the 16th, if I'm not mistaken.
It's mid-August.
Okay.
It's a six-call teleseries. The calls are 75 minutes each, and it's actually over 6 months, but there's one call a month. And that people say, well, why don't you just do a call every week or two? And so the reason I don't do it that quickly is because I really want people have a chance to have changes before they move on, because there's so much stuck energy in the mouth that I'd like, you know, I like people to be able to listen to the recordings after the call. I like them to be able to do some of the hands-on stuff with themselves or friends and really get some things out of the way before we get to the next call. But the name of the call is Happy Mouth, and it's, like I said at the beginning of the call, you can find it on the internet by typing in the site is yourhappymouth.com, and it also can be found on thehappymouth.com. And so there's some more information on that site if anybody is interested in looking into that further.
And will some of the topics that we didn't discuss today be part of the telecall as well?
I mean, everything you can think about that goes on in the mouth, mm-hmm. I'd like to get it covered. You know, and so mm-hmm. and people email me and all their questions too, and so it always brings up new things too that nobody's ever asked before. I mean, you know, people who have, you know, like there's some people who have salivary gland dysfunction, and so they have a really dry mouth, you know, and people have got receded gums and TMJ problems, and or they gag all the time they go to the dentist, or they go to the dentist and they need a bunch of anesthetic just to get them numb to get something done in their mouth. So I mean, there's a lot of people have various things going on in their mouth, but the thing is, when somebody brings something like that up, they're not the only ones who have it.
Yes. Oh wow, this is really something that I can foresee creates so much change in this world. And I will also make sure that in the replay of the show, we send out the information about the telecall.
Okay.
Yeah, brilliant. So, Dr. Tom, any last words for the people listening now and in the future?
One thing I want to get across that I didn't mention is, so it's like, so happy mouth is really not about like putting your mouth onto automatic pilot. There's still, it's always about choice, and it's always about awareness. And so some people think, oh, okay, so I can clear all this stuff in my mouth, and then I don't have to brush my teeth, you know, or I don't have to floss, because I hate flossing, and so I don't have to do that after I do Happy Mouth. And it's like, well, you know, Happy Mouth makes everything in the mouth a lot easier, but the thing is, you still want to take care of your mouth, because the body likes to be taken care of. So it's like, if your mouth is truly aware, you know, if your mouth is truly aware, you're not really wanting to go to bed with a bunch of food in your mouth. You know, there's a lot of people who go to bed without brushing or flossing their teeth, and that causes, you know, certain amount of problems if they're doing that all the time. But if you're really aware, you don't want to go to bed with all that in your mouth, because it just doesn't feel like it really is, feels light in your mouth, you know. And so some people say to me, how could somebody go to bed without flossing their teeth? Because I floss every night, and it feels so good to floss, and so how could people not do that? But the thing is, in America, they say that only 17% of the population actually flosses every day. So lots of people go to bed without flossing, and there's no judgment there. But what would it take for those people who don't floss every day to actually enjoy flossing every day, because it feels good to take care of themselves? So everything that does not allow all that, would you like to try and uncreate all that, please?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, bun, puck, shorts, boys, and beyonds.
Okay. For me, once again, I said this in the beginning, and I just would really like to reiterate that I'm so, so grateful for you and for what it is that you bring to this world. I have not heard of anybody else that does what you do, and it is phenomenal. And thank you so much for being on the show, and I look forward to playing with you some more.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right. Well, I hope you have a lovely day further in Denver. And then I'll speak to you shortly, and goodbye then. Goodbye, everyone listening as well.
Oh, you know what? One thing we didn't say was what my name was. So it's Tom Kozel.
Okay.
And
that
so if
so
you look up, the way you spell my last name is K-O-L-S-O. K-O-L-S-O. And so if you're looking me up on the internet and you haven't heard anything else, that's how you spell my name.
Thank you so much for that. In my mind, everybody has to know who you are. So thank you so much for reminding me of that as well.
Okay. Well, probably were going to put it in the intro anyway. So.
Yes. Okay. No, it is. It's definitely in all our advertising. We have your full name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Glad you, Linda.
It's a pleasure. Keep well.
All right. You too.
Thank you. Bye.